Welcome back. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 and verse 7. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves apron. So we've just read our text for this episode. And, you know, it's interesting. Anti-message believers, preachers, believe that what happened here was a sex act between Eve and the serpent. And then the denomination, Christianity, you know, Christendom at large, believes Eve ate an apple. Please, sir, what happened in the Garden of Eden? We really want to know.
Thank you very much, Brother Olumide.
Yes, sir.
And this is a very interesting mystery. It's a very interesting topic. And very exciting too when you get because it is the foundation for salvation. The knowledge of this mystery, you know, is the foundation for the mystery of redemption.
Hallelujah.
Now, what happened? Your question is, what happened in the Garden of Eden?
Yes, sir.
What happened in the Garden of Eden was the beginning of the display of two mysteries.
The beginning of the display of two mysteries.
Yes.
Okay.
The first mystery is the mystery of iniquity.
Amen. The mystery of iniquity.
Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, he said, for the mystery of iniquity doth already
walk. Yes, sir.
The mystery of iniquity doth already walk. So there is a mystery of iniquity.
Okay.
Then the second mystery in display that was the beginning of the display of that mystery is the mystery. It's a mystery the Bible called the mystery of God or mystery of godliness.
Mystery of godliness.
Which is what Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16.
Okay. And without controversy.
And without
controversy.
Can you see? He's talking about controversy. That means something will bring about argument. And that's why it is called mystery.
Great is the mystery of godliness.
Yes.
God was manifest in the flesh,
uh-huh.
justified in the spirit,
uh-huh.
seen of angels,
uh-huh.
preached unto the Gentiles,
uh-huh.
believed on in the world, and received up into glory.
Now, watch something here. What is the mystery?
Great is the mystery of godliness.
Yeah, what is it?
God was manifest in the flesh.
God,
yes, sir,
came in the form of flesh.
Justified in the spirit.
He was justified in the spirit.
Seen of angels.
He was even seen by angels.
Preached unto the Gentiles.
Now preached to we the Gentiles.
Believed on in the world.
Believed on in the world.
And received up into glory.
And they are thinking that God just sat there and said, let me just go to the world. It's a mystery. He came for a purpose. Something necessitated this mystery that will bring God
down
to come in the flesh and dwell among men, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached, and that same God take him back again.
Okay.
Now, it is nothing but the fulfillment of that mystery of God, or mystery of godliness, as the Bible puts it.
Okay.
That is exactly what was in display.
What was in display?
In the Garden of Eden.
I want to make good use of this opportunity.
Yes.
I don't want you to just eat it. I know you've taken several teachings on Eden. So I would love to ask you, let's build a background. Where was the Garden of Eden located? Can we start from there, sir?
Well, the location of the Garden of Eden, we see it in Genesis chapter 2.
Genesis 2. Because if you don't know the garden, you might not understand what happened.
Well, Genesis chapter 2.
Yes, sir.
I think it's from verse 8. Okay. And maybe up to verse 15. Maybe let's take it that way.
And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison. That is it which compasses the whole land of Avila, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is Delium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Idikel. That is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it.
Now, so the description here.
Yes, sir.
Historians will may answer this better.
Okay.
Wanting to find out where are all these
rivers.
Because here he said, and a river went out of Eden.
Yes, sir. To water,
to
the,
water
garden.
The garden. And from thence, that same river parted and became four heads. I want you to note something. That verse 10 again is very important. We'll take it very carefully.
Okay.
A river went out of Eden to water that garden. And from thence, it was parted. From the garden, the river was parted and became into four heads that flew into these four different locations that are mentioned here.
Okay. So,
in trying to get this,
yes, sir.
If you are going to find out, using this,
yes, sir.
We'll find out that these areas, these rivers,
yes, sir.
They are there in the Middle East.
Okay.
In the present Iraq.
Okay.
And all those other
Iran,
Middle East area, Egypt. they are all located around there.
Okay.
They finally, they all empty themselves again into the ocean.
Okay. So, but this Garden of Eden, because in fact, was it a physical garden? Let that be very established so that we will know. Yeah, you are speaking mystery.
I said yes because. Here it is physical because it said in verse 8.
Okay. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden.
Yes.
And there he put the man whom he had formed.
Because the man was now physical.
Okay.
So certainly that garden will be physical.
Okay.
Because you go to, again, verse 15, from verse 15, 16, and 17.
And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it.
Yes.
And the Lord
God. The man was to dress it, not to dress it spiritual, it's physical. Here, everything here is physical. Go ahead.
Okay. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat.
Yes.
But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. Okay. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die.
So your question, was it a physical garden?
Yes, sir.
Yes. It was a physical garden.
Okay.
But now, the earlier question you asked me.
Where was the garden located?
Where was the garden? Where was the garden?
Yes, sir.
There is a question you will have asked me.
Okay.
Or let me put it this way, because we want to flow whatever questions you are asking. The Garden of Eden was located there, but it's no more located there.
Okay.
Yes.
So if I should ask you, is the garden still there today?
No. Okay. I don't believe that the location of the garden got shifted from that location as described here.
Okay.
And I have every reason to believe that after the flood, the earth was rearranged.
Amen.
I believe so.
Yeah, it's clear, sir.
But even before the flood, I want you to note that if we had started with what happened in the Garden of Eden before this question, maybe the picture will have been better understood. But since you went that way, let me answer first. That because of what happened in the Garden of Eden, as we read later on, we'll see it, God drove them away from the garden. Okay. Now, remember that after they left, population continued.
Yes, sir.
And but first and foremost, Satan can never defeat the purpose of God.
Amen.
God, take note, God can never, God can never desire that he will come and put his children in a particular spot.
Amen.
Then Satan will drive them away. Then he will not be able to bring them back to that spot. That means Satan has defeated him.
That's true.
That is why I believe that, you know, when it was time for God to restore man back, he is not going to look for another location to restore man.
Amen.
In the process of restoration, he will be restoring them back to that same place.
Where they were.
Where they were, that Satan drove, caused them to be driven away.
Okay.
That is the meaning of restoration.
Amen.
And when man fell in the Garden of Eden, God started the process of restoring them back to the Eden that he had intended them to be. Where man originated, God was going to bring man back there. And he started that man.
Yes, sir.
He started creating man, Adam. And Adam fell. He's going to replace Adam with another Adam that we all know to be Christ.
Amen.
Let's now see where was the first Adam formed.
In Eden.
That is where the last Adam will be formed.
Wow.
If it's not formed there, then it's defeated. And that is why I believe that where Israel is located, and particularly Jerusalem is located, I believe that is where God, that is where the location of Eden.
Amen.
Because, yes, after the flood, a lot of changes, geographical and everything, will have taken place.
Amen.
The waters had to be rearranged again.
Yes, sir.
And then the land, positioning of land had to be rearranged and things like that. And I believe that, you know, but God was watching where he first created Adam.
Amen.
And remember that it has always been the battle with Satan. Satan wants to take control of it. So you can now see why that tiny spot, Jerusalem, is making it a bothersome stone, that the Bible says. Say he will make Jerusalem a bothersome stone. There must be something special about Jerusalem. There is no oil there.
Wow.
There is nothing economic interest there that will bring the whole world to focus, other than that a particular group of people, the Palestinians, are saying it is their land, and why should it be given to them, and to Israel, and things like that, even though it was already belonging to the seed of Abraham. David already had that city, and the history and things like that. But I believe that there is something about that land, because if we go to Deuteronomy chapter 11, Deuteronomy chapter 11, if we read it from verse 7.
From verse 7.
Yes, let's read up to verse 12.
Okay. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did.
He is talking to Israel.
Okay.
Okay.
Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong, and go in and possess the land whither ye go to possess it, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence he came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot, as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it.
Now, verse 11 and verse 12, my emphasis.
But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven.
Verse 12.
A land which the Lord thy God careth for.
He cares for that land.
The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon
his
it.
The eyes of the Lord, they are always upon that land.
From the beginning of the year even unto the end
Every
of the year.
Every moment of the year.
Wow.
What is the interest of God there? Because that is his first portion on earth here that he placed man. And he's restoring man again.
Back there.
So he will restore them back there. That's why I believe that's the interest. Is what makes Jerusalem special is because that is the beginning of civilization.
The beginning of civilization. If a secular historian should hear you, say this man is an ignoramus.
Well, because he will be depending on anthropology.
Yes, sir.
He will be depending on archaeology. And he will be depending on mythology.
Yes, sir.
But I am depending on the scriptures.
On godology. Okay.
If you like calling godology.
The beginning of civilization. I love that statement.
I'm not even believing theology. I'm not even looking at it theologically. I'm looking at it by revelation.
Okay, revelationology. Yes. Jerusalem is the beginning of civilization. Israel, Jerusalem particularly.
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much, sir. I just wanted us to establish that before we go on.
Yes.
Okay, so physical garden. But people, especially in the end time message, you know, we've heard what makes it so special. You know, okay, before sin came, was it just, you know, there's something special about it, sir. Because we've heard before that the Garden of Eden was a heavenly spot here on earth and things like that. Is it true? Do you believe that?
Well, that was a...
like a spot of heaven here on earth?
No, not a spot of heaven here on earth. I know you may be picking this because concerning Satan.
Yes, sir.
In Ezekiel chapter 28, and there's a statement in verse 13.
Yes, sir. Ezekiel 28, verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering.
He's talking about Satan.
Lucifer.
About Lucifer.
Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold. The workmanship of thy tabret and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Then verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have said this so. That was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou was walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire.
Now, if you go to Ezekiel 31.
Ezekiel 31.
Now, from verse 7, 8, and 9.
Okay. Thus was he fair in his greatness.
It's describing the king of Assyria.
Okay. In the length of his branches, for his root was by great waters. The cedars in the garden of God could not hide him. The fir trees were not like his boughs, and the chestnut trees were not like his branches. Nor any tree in the garden of God was like unto him in his beauty.
Now, there is a garden of God that could not even be compared to what he was describing. Maybe if we get the picture here.
Okay.
It's Pharaoh, referring to Pharaoh.
Pharaoh, yes.
Yes, referring to Pharaoh. You know, where he says, verse 2,
okay.
He says, Son of man, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitude, who art thou like in thy
greatness?
Whom art thou like in thy greatness? Behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon with fair branches and with a, you know, it's given a description now.
Yes, sir.
Of that beauty. All the fowls of the heaven made their nests in his boughs, and under his branches, all the beasts of the field bring forth their youth, and under his shadow dwell all nations. That's verse 6. Before we come to verse 7. Now, verse 7.
Thus was he fair in his greatness.
Yes.
In the length of his branches, for his root was by great waters.
Now, listen very well.
The cedars in the garden of God could not hide him. The fir trees were not like his boughs, and the chestnut trees were not like his branches. Nor any tree in the garden of God was like unto him in his beauty. I have made him fair by the multitude of his branches. So that all the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God envied him.
Envied him. The where Adam and Eve were kept, the Eden where Adam was kept.
Yes, sir.
Was a place where God kept his children. Mm. And he came down to fellowship with them. Mm. So every spot that God has designated to fellowship with children is the Eden of God, spiritual.
Wow.
So the presence of God, where he meets with his host of heaven, where he has kept them, is his Eden. That is the meaning of Eden. So there's a physical Eden.
And there's a spiritual
Eden. And there is a spiritual Eden, which is, of course, heaven.
So you said no worship, or you've taught us that no worship or service will be accepted except it is done in Christ.
In Christ, yes.
Are you saying Christ is our Eden today?
Well, because it is a meeting point. It is the meeting point of God with man. And if you ask, when you say Christ, there is Christ, the man Christ. Then there is the body of Christ.
Okay.
Which is a union of all believers.
Yes, sir.
In Christ, born by his spirit.
Yes, sir.
Another word for it is the church.
Okay, yes, the church.
Therefore, the church is God's Eden.
Wow. Okay, I've not heard you say it like this before.
The church of Jesus Christ is God's Eden. Okay. Because that is where he meets with us.
Amen.
And fellowships with us.
Amen. And well, you read that from Brother Issachar, the name we've given to our pastor, Brother Issachar. The church is God's Eden. Yeah. I don't think I've heard him say this before. You know, even if he knows it, I don't think I've heard him say this before. So let's note that the church is God's Eden. Okay, sir, you've just opened, you know, my eyes to some things, and it's quite interesting. And from this now, you've answered my question. I was going to ask you, based on the scripture in Ezekiel 28:13, that spoke of another Eden, where
there is a spiritual Eden. Okay. And there's a physical Eden.
There is the spiritual Eden. So if somebody should ask you, how many Edens do we have? You say there are two. The physical and the spiritual.
Yeah, exactly.
And Eden is just the presence of God. When you talk of
where he meets with his people.
Where he meets with his children. Amen. I think it's very clear, sir. Okay. So, sir, now let's go back to both the physical Eden, where mankind was, where our ancestor was, Adam. Yes. Who are those present in this physical Eden, sir?
If you read the story,
yes, sir.
Of, and it's a familiar story. Let me not take it as if.
Okay.
While we're talking, I'm not talking to a Muslim. Even Muslims read the Bible more than Christians.
That's true.
There are characters that we see from the story.
Okay.
Adam was the one that was put in there first.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But he did not have a companion.
Okay.
So the characters there, Eve was formed from him.
Okay.
So we have
Adam.
Adam.
The woman.
The woman, Eve. And also we had the serpent.
The serpent.
The serpent was there also. So physically, these were the three characters that were there.
Apart from all other animals that God created.
Together with other animals.
Okay,
but
so.
We are, as far as the story of our concern, the family of Adam.
Okay.
You know, we had Adam, we had Eve, and then we had serpent, and of course, spiritually, we had the Almighty God himself that was always coming to have fellowship with them.
Yes, sir.
And we also sense, we sense the presence of that deceiver, Satan, Lucifer, he was there also.
Wow.
Spiritually, because these two spirits are always there together. Okay. Where God is, Satan will be there too.
Mm. Where God is, Satan will be there too.
Yes.
Because so many people, especially in the denomination, or, you know, they believe this serpent was just speaking of Satan. Some people have that idea that the serpent was speaking of Satan, not, not a physical.
Yeah, yeah. The Bible referred to Satan also as a serpent.
Yes, sir.
Because it's a description of the fact that he's always using, he's always expressing his wickedness through channels. And the first channel he used is serpent. So when you talk of that old serpent, you are really giving a description of how he manifests.
Okay.
He will always manifest through someone. And the first person he used to destroy, you know, man was a serpent.
Okay.
So anytime you say serpent, it is also synonymous to this, to the instrument he uses in displaying his characteristics.
Okay. But so that doesn't put aside the presence of
the real serpent.
The real serpent, yes. A beast, because in Genesis 3 it says he was more subtle than any beast of the field.
Yes.
Okay, sir. Thank you for laying this foundation for us. Okay. So back to you. Mystery of iniquity. You say it's the beginning of the display of two mysteries.
Yes.
It's the foundation of our salvation. Mm. That's what he said, for our salvation. The beginning of the display of two mysteries. That was why I cut you off. The mystery of iniquity and the mystery of godliness. So, sir, go ahead. What happened?
What happened?
Yes, sir.
That's the question.
Yes, sir.
What happened is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1.
Okay.
Read
Genesis chapter 3, verse 1.
Read up to verse 7.
Okay. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Mm. And he said unto the woman, yea, as God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons.
That is what happened in the Garden of Eden. But to get the picture clearly, because the question is a very wide question, what happened? Let's continue from verse 8.
Okay. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden.
We're going to read up to verse 24. So the whole picture, as we'll be making reference,
all right,
people will understand what we're talking
verse
about.
Verse 10. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Okay, we'll take a short break, and when we come back, I'll continue with this reading, and we'll know what happened in Eden. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.